जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोद नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुन तीरवन चारी यमुन तीरवन चारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी। जय प्रभुपद 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 जय प्रभुपद जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी प्रभुपाद की। जय ओम विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तर शत श्रीमद हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती ठाकुर प्रभुपाद की। नामाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की। प्रेम से कहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद की। श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्यामकुंड राधा कुंड गिरि गोवर्धन की। ब्रजभूमि श्री वृंदावन धाम की। पुरुषोत्तम क्षेत्र श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की। गंगामयी की यमुनामयी की भक्ति देवी की तुलसी देवी की कलियुग पावन हरिनाम संकीर्तन की। हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र की। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की। ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू द असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरीज टू श्री गुरुवन श्री गौरांग। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद्भागवतम कैंटो 5 Chapter number 20, text number 34. Tatah parasta loka loka nama chalo loka loka yor antarali parita upakshipaktaha. It's all prose, not poetry. Will not repeatedly recite it. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Thereafter, beyond the ocean of sweet water and fully surrounding it is the mountain named Lokaloka, which divides the countries that are full of sunlight from those not lit by the sun. Beyond the ocean of sweet water is a tract of land as broad as the area between the middle of Mount Sumeru and the boundary of Manasotra mountain. In the tract of land, there are many living beings. Beyond it, extending to Lokaloka mountain, is another land, which is made of gold. Because of its golden surface, it reflects light like the surface of a mirror. And any physical article that falls on that land can never be perceived again. All living entities, therefore, have abandoned that golden land. Between the lands inhabited by living entities and those that are inhabited stands the great mountain which separates the two and which is therefore called as Lokaloka. 37. By the supreme will of Krishna, the mountain known as Lokaloka has been installed as the outer border of the three worlds, Bhurloka, Bhavarloka and Swarloka, to control the rays of sun throughout the universe. All the luminaries from the sun up to Dhravaloka distribute their rays throughout the three worlds, but only within the boundary formed by this mountain. Because it is extremely high, extending even higher than Dhravaloka, it blocks the rays of the luminaries, which therefore can never extend beyond it. Surrounding the planetary systems are the eight directions, namely east, west, north, south, northeast, southeast, northwest and southwest. Lokaloka mountain has been established as the outer boundary of all the lokas to distribute the rays of the sun and other luminaries equally throughout the universe. This vivid description of how the rays of the sun are distributed throughout the different planetary systems of the universe is very scientific. Sukadeva Goswami described these universal affairs to Maharaj Parikshit as he had heard about them from his predecessor. He explained these facts 5,000 years ago, but the knowledge existed long, long before because Sukadeva Goswami received it through disciplic succession. Because this knowledge is accepted through the disciplic succession, it is perfect. The history of modern scientific knowledge, on the contrary, does not go back more than a few hundred years. Therefore, even if modern scientists do not accept the other factual presentations of Srimad Bhagavatam, how can they deny the perfect astronomical calculations that existed long before they could imagine such things? There is so much information to gather from Srimad Bhagavatam. Modern scientists, however, have no information of this, of other planetary systems, and indeed are hardly conversant with the planet on which are now living. ॐ अज्ञानतिमिरान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनाशलाकया चक्षुरुन्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः. श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टं स्थापितं येन भूतले स्वयं रूपः कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वपदान्तिकं. वन्देऽहं श्रीगुरोः श्रीयुतापदकमलं श्रीगुरून् वैष्णवांश्च श्रीरूपं साग्रजातम् सहगणारघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजनासहितं कृष्णचैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधाकृष्णपादान् सहगणललिता श्रीविशाखान्वितांश्च. हे कृष्णकरुणासिन्धो दीनबन्धो जगत्पते गोपेशा गोपिकाकान्ता राधाकान्ता नमोऽस्तु ते. तप्तकाञ्चन गौराङ्गी राधे वृन्दावनेश्वरि वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये. वाञ्छाकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपासिन्धुभ्य एव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. नम ॐ विष्णुपादाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदान्तस्वामिन् इति नामिनि. नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेषा शून्यवादी पाश्चात्यदेशतारिणे. जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभो नित्यानंद ಶ್ರೀ ಅದ್ವೈತ ಗದಾಧರ ಶ್ರೀವಾಸಾದಿ ಗೌರಭಕ್ತವೃಂದ ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ 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 ಹರೇ 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 ರಾಮ 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 ಹರೇ ಹರೇ.
Hare Krishna. I offer my humble obeisances to all the devotees who have gathered here today for the morning Bhagavatam class. Today we are discussing from the 5th canto, chapter number 20. This describes the structure of the universe. This whole section is presenting several details of the cosmos, where there are several mountains, oceans, islands, and different planets in the outer space. So how are they positioned in this universe? That's the subject matter of the second half of the 5th canto. So this particular portion of Bhagavatam is called Sthanam. There are 10 topics in Srimad Bhagavatam, right? So one topic is called Sthanam. Sthanam means position. So after the living beings are created, actually living beings are not created, they are eternally parts of the Supreme Lord. Okay. When we say creation of living beings, basically we are referring to the creation of their bodies in different species. So when Brahma creates different living beings, in the sense that he creates different species, basically all the species need a designated position to live, isn't it? Therefore, all these created living beings, the species of living beings must be positioned in different places according to their consciousness, according to their overall, you know, system. So, Brahma creates different planetary systems. One is Bhumandala. Predominantly populated by human beings, okay, and of course lower species are also there. And there is other planets like Swargaloka is there, Bhurloka, Bhavarloka, Swargaloka, Janaloka, Mahaloka, Tapoloka, Satyaloka. 7 upper planetary systems are there. Depending on the level of our consciousness, we are positioned in different planetary systems. In the upper planets, very elevated beings who are elevated in their spiritual consciousness, in their intelligence, in their overall consciousness, they are positioned in the upper planets. Those who are in lower consciousness, they are placed in lower species in lower planets, like that. So like that, 14 planetary systems are created to position different living beings of different levels of consciousness, right? Now, in this particular section of this chapter, Sukadeva Goswami is specifically describing the Bhumandala, which is the middle planet. There are 7 upper planets, there are 7 lower planets, right? Bhumandala is the middle one, fine? So, or you can say the first layer amongst the top 7 layers. And in the depths of Bhumandala, there are 7 other layers, or 7 other planetary systems. Atala, Vitala, Sutala, Rasatala, Talatala, Bhutala, Patala. So, they are lower planets. They are very small, actually. They're quite small. But Bhumandala is like biggest, like it's very it's occupying the entire diameter of the universe almost, right? It's almost close towards the boundaries of the universal globe, right? So now upper planets are there; they're a little smaller. Where you if it is a big globe, right, the middle portion is like the widest thing, right? When you go up, they are like naturally very smaller. The planets are there. Now, this Bhumandala he is describing. So, what's there in Bhumandala? In the middle of Bhumandala, there is a great mountain called Sumeru Mountain, Golden Mountain. And this Bhumandala is almost like a disc. And there is a king named Priyavrata Maharaj. So, he took his chariot and started going around Bhumandala, right? So the wheels, chariot wheels of Priyavrata Maharaj, so they created different ditches, 7 rings in this Bhumandala, and these rings became the 7 great oceans, right?
So when seven great oceans are formed, which are almost like ring-like structures, naturally seven islands are formed. They are also like rings, right? The middlemost island called Jambudvipa is in a circular form, and all the other dvipas or islands, Plakshadvipa and Shalmalidvipa, they are all in the form of rings, separated by ring-shaped oceans. What are these oceans? Saltwater ocean, milk ocean, yogurt ocean, honey ocean, okay. Then liquor ocean, my God. Sugarcane juice ocean, freshwater ocean, okay. So these are multiple oceans. Now, the universe is filled with islands, oceans, mountains, okay. So why we are caught up in the middle of all these oceans? Even in our earthly planet also there are multiple oceans. Because we are not sufficiently bathing ourselves in the oceans of Krishna's qualities. Right? So when we drench ourselves in the rain showers of Krishna's mercy, when we dip our bodies in the oceans of Krishna's compassion, Krishna's beauty, etc., then there is no possibility of getting entrapped in the middle of all these oceans on some dvipa, caught up. Just imagine, you are in the middle of a dvipa, island, water everywhere, surrounding. No possibility to escape. You get scared, right? Because this dvipa is so big, we are not even getting scared only. But actually, we need to get scared. We need to be fearful of Maya. So that entrapped us on some island surrounded by water on all sides. No scope to escape. So the saga of a conditioned soul in this material world is so long that we cannot trace back, how did I end up on this dvipa? How did I end up on this material planet or material island surrounded by waters? But instead of figuring out how did you end up here, figure out how to get lost from here. Okay, that's what Acharya teaches. Okay, so Krishna gives a simple formula how to get out of this material ocean and material entanglement. Krishna, that's why he spoke Bhagavad Gita. Recently we celebrated Gita Jayanti. So what is the glory of Bhagavad Gita? As you are seeing, such a big cutout is there, right behind us, Bhagavad Gita. That Bhagavad Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. Sarvopanishado gavo dogdha gopalanandanah partho vatsah sudhir bhokta dugdham gitamritam mahat. So, sarva upanishado gavo. All the Upanishads are compared with a cow. And the milk of that cow, nectarian milk of that cow, is considered this Bhagavad Gita. Okay. So, and the milkman or the cowherd boy who is milking the cow, that's Krishna. And the calf is Arjun. Right. So, Gita is considered the essence of all Upanishads. And what is the essence of Bhagavad Gita? That's the conclusion of Bhagavad Gita. Essence of Bhagavad Gita. Okay, let's go a little step by step. Gita has 18 chapters. Okay. So there are three sections. 18 chapters are divided into three sections. First six are Karma Yoga. Last six are Jnana Yoga. Okay. Middle six are Bhakti Yoga. The middle six chapters are considered the essence of Bhagavad Gita. Gita is the essence of all Upanishads. Middle six chapters are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And what is the essence of middle six chapters? The middle two chapters, 9 and 10. And what is the essence of this middle two chapters? What you just said sometime back. Manmana bhava madbhakto madhya jimam namaskuru. So, this manmana bhava madbhakto shloka is the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of all Upanishads, all the scriptures. Okay? Essence is Gita. Essence square is Bhakti Yoga. Essence cube is 9th and 10th chapters. Essence power 4 is? Manmana bhava madbhakta. What is essence power 5? What is the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence? Manmana. Always think of Krishna. Okay? You want more proof for this? How he is getting into essence power 5? स्मर्तव्यः सततं विष्णोर्विस्मर्तव्यो न जातुचित् सर्वे विधिनिषेधास्युरेतयोरेव किङ्करः. द एसेन्स् ऑफ ऑल विधीस एंड निषेधास. विधीस मीन्स रूल्स, निषेधा मीन्स रिस्ट्रिक्शंस, रेगुलेशंस. एसेन्स ऑफ ऑल डूस एंड डोंट्स, एसेन्स ऑफ ऑल रूल्स एंड रेगुलेशंस, एसेन्स ऑफ ऑल प्रिस्क्रिप्शंस एंड प्रोहिबिशंस इज टू ऑलवेज थिंक ऑफ कृष्णा, नेवर फॉरगेट कृष्णा. Today is the first day of the new year. Many times we take resolutions, right? Okay, new year resolutions. Resolutions are basically in the form of do's and don'ts. I will do this this year. I will not do this this year. Okay, so many do's and don'ts are there in resolutions. But we have just seen the essence of all the do's and don'ts in your resolutions is always remember Krishna, never forget Krishna. The most essential do is always remember Krishna. The most essential don't is never forget Krishna. The most essential rule is always remember Krishna. The most essential regulation is never forget Krishna. The most essential prescription is always remember Krishna. The most essential prohibition is never forget Krishna. That's the essence of Bhakti Yoga, essence of Bhagavad Gita, essence of Bhagavatam, essence of all scriptures, to be Krishna conscious, right? And by being Krishna conscious, we come out of all these oceans. The seven oceans described here. Seven oceans, seven islands. Okay. So to come out of this entanglement or entrapment, encasement in the seven material oceans, in the seven islands, we need to focus on the essence of Bhagavad Gita, which is to become Krishna conscious. Now, while explaining this word manmana, which is the essence of all scriptures, always think of Krishna. One acharya said, manmana means mayi apara karunya saushilya saundarya madhurya gambhirya audarya vatsalya jaladhau nivishta manabhava. You understood? Okay. You will understand by the end of the class. So, manmana means to always think of Krishna. I'll come back to this one phrase little later. Manmana means to always think of Krishna. Bhavamad bhakta means becoming a devotee of Krishna. Are manmana and bhavamad bhakta same or different? If you are always thinking of Krishna, what is the relevance of the word bhavamad bhakta? Why you should become a devotee of Krishna? So both are overlapping, right? Why Krishna is giving such already essential shloka, essence of the essence of the essence of the essence of the essence, right? In that way, there is a repetition. Manmana and bhava madbhakto. What's the logic? Is Krishna redundant in presenting the essence, right? Is he repeating so much? favorable intent. You must have read Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. You can be manmana. You can be Krishna conscious. You can be 24 hours Krishna conscious without being a devotee of Krishna. Okay, Kamsa was 24 hours Krishna conscious with fear in the heart. Hiranyakashipu was 24 hours Krishna conscious with hatred in the heart. Shishupal was 24 hours Krishna conscious with envy in the heart. Right? So with negative emotions also one can become thoroughly Krishna conscious. One can be always thinking of Krishna. Never forget Krishna. Right? Then one can be manmana. Mayyeva mana adhatsva. Mayyavesha manoyemam, ananyaschintayantomam, manmana. All this can be done with negative emotions also. Therefore, Krishna says, don't be manmana, don't follow this manmana with a negative emotion. Bhava madbhakto. You always remember me not with hatred. You always remember me with devotion. Manmana bhava madbhakto. That's the relevance of these two. So, manmana bhava madbhakto. Now let's get into manmana. Come back. That's essence, right? Always remember Krishna. Never forget Krishna. So the phrase that I just mentioned some time back. Mayi apara karunya saushilya saundarya madhurya gambhirya audarya vatsalya jaladhau nivishta manabhava. Means Krishna is compared with seven oceans here. Apara means you cannot find how deep the ocean is. You cannot find where are the shores of the ocean. Ocean is so expansive, ocean is so deep, right? Which ocean? Krishna ocean. Mayi apara. Apara means unlimited ocean. right? You cannot find its depths and shores. Mai apara karunya. Karunya means compassion. Krishna is an ocean of compassion. Saushilya. Krishna is an ocean of good character. Saundarya. Krishna is an ocean of beauty. Unlimited beauty. Unparalleled beauty. Karunya, Saushilya, Saundarya, Madhurya. Krishna is an ocean of sweetness. Unlimited sweetness. Okay. Mai apara karunya, Saushilya, Saundarya, Madhurya, Gambhirya. Krishna is also an ocean of gravity. Just because he's sweet and naughty and beautiful, that does not mean he's not grave. He's very silly. No, he can be very grave as an ocean. So, that is gravity. Then Audarya, the sixth ocean of Krishna is, he is Audarya, extremely benevolent. Then Vatsalya, he is very affectionate. Manmana means to immerse our minds, to bathe our minds in the seven oceans of Krishna. Madhurya, Mayapara, Karunya, Saushilya, Saundarya, Madhurya, Gambhirya, Audarya, Vatsalya, Jaladhau. Jaladhi means ocean. Nivishta manabhava, immerse your mind in these seven oceans of Krishna. Then you can come out of these seven oceans of the universe. Liquor ocean, salt water ocean, milk ocean, yogurt ocean. My God, to come out of all these oceans. It's exciting to hear, but it's little difficult to sit in yogurt ocean all the while. How many are excited to just sit in a yogurt ocean, immerse in a yogurt ocean, or liquor ocean, or sugarcane juice ocean? My God. Right? Even if you are drinking sugarcane juice and some sugarcane juice falls on your hand, right, and you don't have water to wash it, you become really restless till you wash your hand, right? It becomes very sticky. So, to come out of this seven islands and seven oceans are basically the material entanglement. We need to immerse our minds in these seven oceans of Krishna. What does it mean to immerse our minds in the seven oceans of Krishna, Manmana? The answer is, you need to contemplate. You need to think deeply. How compassionate Krishna is. Let's focus on the first ocean, Karunya ocean. How compassionate Krishna is. Just meditate on all the pastimes of Krishna where Krishna exhibited his compassion. Just tell one example of Krishna's pastimes where he exhibited compassion. Putana. Putana loka balagni rakshasi rudhirashana jighamsayapi haraye stanam dattvapa sadgatim. Putana is loka balagni. Putana is a witch. She is a rakshasi. She is known to completely catch infant babies and suck their blood. That's her food, right? So such a rakshasi, jighamsayapi haraye, although she came with a malicious intention to kill not only Krishna, who is a baby, all the babies in Vrindavan who are less than 10 days old. But Krishna has given her a position of motherly nurse in the spiritual world. Padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam vandyabhyam loka vanditaihi angam yasyah samakramya bhagavanapi tatstanam yatudhanyapi sasvarga bhavapajana nigatim krishna bhuktastanakshiraha kimugavo numataraham padbhyam bhakta hridistabhyam. All the lotus feet of Krishna are held within the hearts of all the devotees, and they constantly meditate on those lotus feet, right? But Putana was so fortunate that she did not just get darshan of Krishna's lotus feet. Putana got the embrace of Krishna. Krishna is just embracing Putana, and all the Putana is saying, leave me, leave me. But Krishna is not leaving. If Krishna embraces you, will you say, leave me, leave me? But Putana is saying, leave me, leave me. But Krishna is not leaving. How fortunate she is. Right? Yatu dhanyapi sasvarga bhavapajana nigatim krishna bhuktastanakshiraha kimugavo numataraha. Although she is a yatudhani, she is a witch, baby catcher, rakshasi, still Krishna gave her a position which is fitting for a motherly nurse in the spiritual world, as a maid servant, as an assistant of Mother Yashoda in the spiritual world. Who else could be more kind? Uddhava appreciates this compassionate spirit of Krishna by saying, Aho bakiyam stanakalakutam jighamsayapayadapya sadhvi lebhe gatim dhatrujitam tatonyam kamvadayalum sharanam vrajema. Aho bakiyam. She is Baki. Her brother is Baka, Bakasur. Another brother is Aghasur. We have some divine, two brothers and one sister, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra. And in contrast to this combination, we have another combination, two brothers and one sister, Aghasur, Bakasur and Putana. So, Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam, she applied some poison on her body and came with a malicious intention to kill Krishna with that poison. But Krishna has given her the position of a motherly nurse. Kamva dayalum sharanam vrajema. Who else could be more compassionate than Krishna? So that is Karunya Ocean. And you can see many other such examples where Krishna is described as an ocean of compassion. Right? So Manmana means to immerse our minds in the ocean of Krishna's compassion, Krishna's Karunya. He Gopalaka, He Krupa Jalanidhe, He Sindhukanyapate, He Kamsantaka, He Gajendra Karuna, Parina He Madhava, He Ramanuja, He Jagatraya Guru, He Pundarikakshamam, Shri Gopi Jananatha Palaya Param, Janami Natvam Vinam. He Gopalaka, He Krupa Jalanidhe. Gopala is one who tends cows. He is Kripa Jalanidhi. He is an ocean of Karunya. Ocean of Kripa. He Sindhukanya Pate. Sindhukanya is Mother Lakshmi, who appeared from the churning of milk ocean. Okay. So Krishna is the Pati of Lakshmi. Right. So in this way, several shlokas and several pastimes describe Krishna's compassion. Krishna's Karunya. So he is Krishna is Karunya Samudra. So according to this Ramanujacharya's phrase, explanation of Manmana, we see that Krishna is compared with seven oceans. Mai apara Karunya Saushilya. Second ocean is Saushilya. Saushilya means Krishna is an ocean of good character. Any examples where Krishna demonstrated great character? Although Krishna is killer of so many demons, establisher of dharma, still he was very respectful, very humble in front of his elders. He bows down in front of Mother Devaki and Vasudev. And Vasudev had 18 wives. All the stepmothers of Krishna are worshipable to Krishna like his actual mothers. He shows so much of etiquette in front of his mothers, stepmothers. And he goes obediently, humbly, submissively. He renders service to Sandipani Muni. And whatever Guru Dakshina Sandipani Muni expected, Krishna just offered it. Right? So that is Krishna's good character. Right? There is one shloka in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. When Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes to Vrindavan for the first time, two parrots, Shuka and Sharika, they started glorifying Krishna and Radha. The male parrot was glorifying Krishna and the female parrot was glorifying Srimati Radharani. Okay. The male parrot was saying, Saundaryam lalanali dhairya dalanam leela ramastambhini viryam kandukitadrivarya babalat pare parardham gunaham shilam sarvajananu ranjanamaho yasyayam asmat prabhur Vishvam Vishvajanina Kirti Ravatat Krishno Jagan Mohana. In this shloka, this male parrot describes six qualities of Krishna. One of them is Krishna Sushilata, his good character. Right? Shilam Sarvajananu Ranjanamaho Yasyayam Asmat Prabhur. Krishna Shilam is Sarvajana Anuranjanam. So Krishna's good character completely captivates the hearts of everyone who looks at him, right? If they have purity of consciousness. But Krishna's good character is not very appealing to Shishupal, Duryodhan and other people. Krishna killed Kamsa and reinstated Ugrasena as the king of Mathura, and Krishna is very obediently just folding his hands and submissively standing in front of Ugrasena and says, "Oh, my dear sir, this is what has happened, this is what has happened there." He's giving a report. And Ugrasena is giving some verdict and giving some instructions. And Krishna is very submissive, right? So what else can be a more vivid example than all these examples that we discussed about Krishna Saushilyata? Mai apara karunya saushilya. Krishna is an ocean of karunya, compassion. Saushilya, Krishna is an ocean of good character. Then Krishna is an ocean of saundarya, beauty, unparalleled beauty, right? So who can describe Krishna's beauty? The scriptures are filled with describing Krishna's beauty. Fullendivara kanti mindu vadanam barhavatam sapriyam shrivat sankamudara kaustubhadaram pitambaram sundaram gopinam nayanotpalarchitatanum go gopasanghavritam govindam kalavenuvadanaparam divyanga bhusham bhaje. Fullendivara kanti mindu vadanam. Krishna's beauty is like that of a freshly bloomed blue lotus bathed in moonlight, right? Some lotuses bloom in moonlight, some lotuses bloom in sunlight. Krishna's blue complexion is like that of a blue lotus that is bathed in moonlight. Although he has dark complexion, Krishna is very effulgent, right? Fullendivara kanti mindu vadanam barhavatam sapriyam. Krishna also wears a beautiful, resplendent, shining peacock feather. And Shrivat Sankamudara Kaustubhadharam Pitambaram Sundaram. He has Srivatsa mark on his chest. Pitambaram Sundaram. His dhoti is like lightning, yellow lightning, golden lightning. And Gopinam Nayanotpalarchitatanum Go Gopasanghavritam. Gopinam Nayana Utpala Archita Tanum. We perform Pushpabhishek to Krishna. So we offer flowers on Krishna, right? But you know how the gopis worship Krishna? The loving glances of the gopis are compared to beautiful flowers. And Krishna's wonderful body is bathed in the flowers of the gopis' loving glances, right? Gopinam nayanotpalarchitatanum. Krishna, who has that beautiful form which is constantly being worshipped by the loving glances of the gopis. When somebody lovingly glances upon us, that nourishes us emotionally and in all ways, basically. So when a pure devotee lovingly glances upon us, that's a blessing. When a mother lovingly glances upon her child, that's a blessing. When a devotee lovingly glances on Krishna, Krishna feels so happy, right? So we should not understand Krishna only intellectually, the tattva of Krishna. We should also try to connect with Krishna emotionally. Therefore, Krishna said, Buddha bhava samanvitaha. Don't just use your buddhi to understand me. Also have some bhava for me. Krishna said, Mayyeva mana adhatsva mayi buddhim niveshaya. Mayyeva mana adhatsva means, you engage your mind in me. That is called smaranatmika bhakti. You engage your mind in me means you have emotions, have feelings for me. Develop an emotional bonding with me. If you can't do that, mayi buddhim niveshaya. At least understand my tattva. Eventually emotions will manifest, right? If you can't even do that, then engage your senses in me. Krishna gives a big progression of bhakti in the 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So coming back to Krishna's beauty, all the gopis of Vrindavan are constantly bathing Krishna with their loving glances. They are not impressed with any other form of Krishna. Once they saw Narayana. They were searching for Krishna. All the gopis saw Narayana and they said, "Oh Narayana, please accept our humble obeisances. Did you see Krishna?" So they moved ahead to find Krishna. They are like chataka birds. Okay, chataka birds want to drink water that comes directly from the sky only. Bisleri water will not appeal to them. Even water from Ganga and Yamuna also will not appeal to them. Only water that directly comes from the sky. Similarly, ఆల్ ద కృష్ణ హ్యాస్ సో మెనీ ఫార్మ్స్ రామాదిమూర్తి సుకలా నియమేన తిష్టన్ నానావతారం అకరోత్ భువనేషు కింతు స్టిల్ ఓన్లీ కృష్ణస్ వృందావన్ ఫార్మ్ దట్ ఈస్ అపీలింగ్ టు ద గోపీస్. ఓకే, గోపీనాం నయనోత్పలార్చిత తను. సో వెన్ ఎవర్ కృష్ణ కమ్స్ ఇన్ ఫ్రంట్ ఆఫ్ ద గోపీస్, గోపీస్ స్టాప్ బ్లింకింగ్ దేర్ ఐస్, దిస్ ఇస్ లుక్ ఎట్ కృష్ణ సౌందర్య జస్ట్ విత్ అన్బ్లింకింగ్ ఐస్ అండ్ ద క్రిటిసైజ్ బ్రహ్మ. బ్రహ్మ డస్ నాట్ నో హౌ టు డిజైన్ హ్యూమన్ బాడీస్. మేబీ హీ షుడ్ టేక్ కన్సల్టెన్సీ ఫ్రమ్ అస్ నెక్స్ట్ టైం. హీ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ ఓన్లీ టూ ఐస్. ఈవెన్ విత్ థౌజండ్స్ ఆఫ్ ఐస్ వీ వాంట్ బి ఏబుల్ టు కంప్లీట్లీ రెలిష్ కృష్ణస్ బ్యూటీ, అండ్ బ్రహ్మ హ్యాస్ గివెన్ ఓన్లీ టూ ఐస్, అండ్ దట్ టు దెర్ ఆర్ ఐ లీడ్స్ దట్ ఆర్ కాన్స్టెంట్లీ బ్లింకింగ్, సో దే జస్ట్ ఓపెన్ దేర్ ఐస్ లైక్ దిస్. దేర్ బ్యూటిఫుల్ ఐస్ ఆర్ లైక్ ఐస్ ఆన్ పీకాక్ ఫెదర్, రైట్? సో కృష్ణ డస్ నాట్ వాంట్ డస్ నెవర్ వాంట్స్ టు ఫర్గెట్ గోపీస్. Therefore, he wears multiple peacock feathers on his head because these peacock feathers are resembling the eyes of the gopis that never blink. There are eyes on peacock feather also. They don't blink, right? Similarly, the gopis' eyes also don't blink. So Krishna wears peacock feathers because of that one. That's one reason. So now there is another shloka. There also it's described how the gopis are relishing Krishna's beauty. భక్త పాయ భుజాంగ గారుడమణి త్రైలోక్య రక్షామణి గోపీ లోచన చాతకాంబుదమణి సౌందర్యముద్రామణి యః కాంతామణి రుక్మిణి ఘనకుచ ద్వంద్వైక భూషామణి శ్రేయో దేవశిఖామణిర్దిశతు నో గోపాల చూడామణి. ఇన్ దిస్ శ్లోక దట్ వన్ లైన్ దట్ ఈస్ గోపీ లోచన చాతకాంబుదమణి సౌందర్య ముద్రామణి. ద గోపీస్ ఐస్ ఆర్ కంపేర్డ్ విత్ పీకాక్స్, రైట్? హియర్ జస్ట్ నౌ వి జస్ట్ డిస్కస్డ్ పీకాక్స్ గెట్ ఎక్సైటెడ్ వెన్ దేర్ ఇస్ క్లౌడ్స్ ఇన్ ద స్కై, రైట్? ద గోపీస్ ఐస్ ఆర్ లైక్ పీకాక్స్ ఐస్ అండ్ ఆర్ పీకాక్స్ ఫెదర్స్ జస్ట్ లైక్ పీకాక్స్ గెట్ ఎక్సైటెడ్ వెన్ దే సీ క్లౌడ్. Gopis eyes get excited when they see Krishna's beautiful form, which is resembling the complexion of a cloud, monsoon cloud, right? So Krishna is showering rain. Monsoon cloud showers rain, right? Krishna is showering the rain of his glances. Krishna is showering the rain of his smiles. And Krishna is just present in front of the gopis, showering these two types of rain. And all these gopis are so excited to drink that rain water, right? So the smiling glances of Krishna, the loving glances of Krishna, they wanted to drink. So they relished beauty. Actually, as Prabhupada says, that to relish the sweetness of sugarcane juice, you should not have jaundice. Similarly, to relish the beauty of Krishna also, you need to have a loving heart. And who else can love Krishna more than the gopis of Vrindavan? Therefore, although Krishna is so beautiful, not everyone can relish Krishna's beauty. When Krishna stands in front of Duryodhan, Duryodhan cannot relish Krishna's beauty. Shishupal cannot relish Krishna's beauty. Who is that? Kaliya could not relish Krishna's beauty. So when Krishna jumped into Kaliya lake, Kaliya came forward to bite Krishna. Tam prekshaniya sukumara ghanavadatam. Tam prekshaniya. The most appealing form, worthy of looking at, that kind of form, Sukumara Ghanavadatam, very tender form, Ghanavadatam, that has the complexion of a cloud. So that is not at all appealing to this envious Kaliya. So we relish Krishna's beauty to the degree our consciousness is pure. And the purest consciousness is there in the hearts of the gopis of Vrindavan. Therefore, they relish Krishna's beauty more than anyone else could ever relish. And the best relisher amongst the gopis is Srimati Radharani, right? Similarly, we relish Krishna's compassion when we have pure heart, okay? So, mai apara karunya saushilya saundarya. We discuss three oceans of Krishna, right? We are discussing manmana. Hope you are getting the context, okay? Manmana means to immerse our minds, to bathe our minds in these seven oceans of Krishna. One ocean is karunya ocean. We discuss several examples. Second, saushilya. Third is Saundarya. Fourth is Madhurya. There are unlimited references. Vallabhacharya says, Adharam Madhuram, Vadanam Madhuram, Nayanam Madhuram, Hasitam Madhuram. Everything is Madhuram only. Everything that is connected to Krishna is complete sweetness. Krishna's holy name is sweet. Madhura madhura metan mangalam mangalanam sakala nigama valli satvalam chitswarupam sakridapi parigitam shraddhaya helayava bhruguvara naramatram tarayet Krishna nama. Madhura madhura metan mangalam mangalanam. The sweetest of all sweet things is Krishna's holy name. The most auspicious amongst all auspicious things is Krishna's name. Mangalam mangalanam. Sakala nigama valli satvalam chitswarupam. All the nigamas, all the shastras are compared with a valli, a creeper. And the ripened fruit of that creeper is holy name of Krishna. Just like Bhagavatam is compared with a ripened fruit of the desire tree of Vedic literatures. Similarly, holy name is compared with the ripened fruit of the creeper of devotion, creeper of all scriptures. Sakala nigama valli satvalam chitswarupam sakridapi parigitam shraddhaya helayava. If you chant the name of Krishna, sakridapi parigitam, even once, shraddhaya helayava, either with devotion or faith or helaya, neglect. In a neglectful way you chant, or with love and faith you chant, still, holy name will only cause benefit to you. Holy name will only deliver us. Sakridapi parigitam shraddhaya helayava bhruguvaranara matram tarayet Krishna nama. Tarayet. Krishna nama can completely deliver us. Right? Alam 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 eka praninam patakanam nirasana vishayeya Krishna Krishneti vani. Yadi bhavati mukunde bhaktirananda sandra karatala kalita sa moksha samrajya lakshmi. Alamalam alameka praninam patakanam. By chanting the holy names of Krishna, all the sinful reactions are destroyed. Patakas are destroyed. Okay. But that's just an insignificant byproduct of chanting the holy names of Krishna. Right? Praninam patakanam. Nirasana vishayeya Krishna Krishneti vani. So, eradication of sinful reactions and development of detachment from everything material. Krishna Krishneti vani. Yadi bhavati mukunde bhaktirananda sandra. Now, one effect is eradication of sinful reactions. Second effect is detachment from material enjoyment. Third is bhaktirananda sandra. So the condensed ocean of devotion is so rarely accessible, but by chanting the holy name of Krishna, we are immersed, we are dipped, we are immersed in an ocean of, condensed ocean of devotion. We develop bhakti unto Krishna in short, right? By chanting the holy names. And karatala kalita sa moksha samrajya lakshmi. That moksha samrajya lakshmi, that great opulence of the kingdom of liberation, it just descends into our hands. Karatala, right? Means it becomes very, it's like a cakewalk. It's like a piece of cake for us, right? Provided we sincerely chant the holy names of Krishna. That's the sweetness of Krishna's holy name. And we have unlimited shlokas that Tunde, Tandavani, Ratam, Vidhanati, so many shlokas just to describe the sweetness of Krishna's name only. I have not come to Krishna's Galitam, Vadanam, Adharam, all this we have. One class is not sufficient, right? So basically Krishna is an ocean of sweetness. Every attribute of Krishna is filled with sweetness. Okay? So we discussed four oceans. Karunya, Saushilya, Saundarya, Madhurya. Then fifth is Gambhirya. How Gambhira Krishna is. Okay? So, one incarnation of Krishna, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, does his pastimes in Gambhira. But Krishna is an ocean of Gambhira. Means Krishna is an ocean of gravity. So, Krishna played the role of a chariot driver for Arjuna. He's a cousin. He played so many roles, definitely. Sarathya parishada sevana sakhya dautya virasana anugamanastavana pranamam snigdheshu pandushu jagat pranatim cha vishnor bhaktim karotin rapatis charanaravinde. So we know from first canto how many roles did Krishna play in connection with the Pandavas. Okay. Attracted by their bhakti. So at one point Krishna is like their friend, At one point, Krishna jokes with Pandavas, especially with Arjuna. And at one point, he becomes their driver, cousin, friend, teacher, messenger. And he become their advisor also. So when Arjuna was completely confused, Krishna spoke Bhagavad Gita. How grave teachings are. It was not joke anymore. Prabhupada writes in the first chapter of Bhagavad Gita, so far they were having some friendly exchanges, right? Like cousin, friend, etc. But now Krishna gave up that position as a friend. He took the role of a teacher. Very gravely he is presenting Gita teachings. Another instance where gravity of Krishna is present is in the Brahma Vimohana Leela. So Brahma has stolen the cowherd boyfriends and the calves of Krishna. And after a moment, he realized his mistake. He came back and he offered prayers to Krishna. Right? That's 1 year in earthly calculation. When he offered prayers to Krishna, Krishna did not speak a single word. 6-year-old boy, very grave. Have you ever seen kids becoming very grave? So 6-year-old boy with curd rice in his hand is very grave. He did not speak a single word. At least when Indra came, Krishna spoke something. Right? Okay, no more Indra Puja for you. I am permanently replacing Indra Puja with Govardhan Puja. No more Indra Puja. But you can continue in your post. Never do these mistakes again. He just said something, pacified him. He accepted Abhishek also. Right? That's how Govindukund is formed. Sarabhikund is formed. But when Brahma spoke, Krishna did not speak a single word when he was apologizing. So Brahma did not understand what to do. Brahma finally reconciled that maybe Krishna was thinking that my requests are not reasonable requests. I am aspiring to become a blade of grass in Vrindavan to get the dust from the lotus feet of Rajavasis. Maybe Krishna considered that I am not humble enough to get the dust from the Vrajavasis. So I think I am asking beyond my capacity. Better I should go back to my service as a creator. You see, getting dust from the lotus feet of the Gopas and Gopis in Vrindavan is considered a greater privilege than becoming the creator of the universe. And Brahma realized it and he left. And after that also he is feeling so guilty. Then Brahma went to a place called Antardvipa. Then he performed severe austerities and he meditated on Krishna. Then Krishna responded in the form of golden Gauranga. He said, Brahma, now you have such a great high social status as a creator of the entire universe. In one day of Brahma, 14 Manus come and go. 14 sets of Devatas come and go. 14 Indras come and go. 14 sets of Saptarishis come and go. In one day of Brahma, by the way. How long Brahma's life is, how great his position is. But great position also induces pride, right? So Brahma, you are in a very high social status now. Maybe you are a little proud. So in your next incarnation, I will give you the privilege of being deprived of the social status. It's a privilege to not have social status. Right? So I will deprive you of the social status and I will make you take birth in a Yavana family, Mlecha family, where you will not be socially respected, but you will be humble. That having that humility in heart is a greater privilege than having a status or a throne. Okay? So in that state of humility, you will be able to understand me. I will reciprocate with you. Okay? Even if you run away from me, I will run behind you. Now you came and offered prayers to me. I did not respond to the prayers. But in that state of humility, you will be able to get my mercy as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So, in short, Krishna can be very grave. He can very gravely deal with his devotees whenever it's needed. Sometimes it's described that Krishna's voice is very grave as rumbling clouds. Okay? So gravity. Krishna is an ocean of gravity also. He can be grave in correcting the mistakes of devotees also. So we discussed 5 oceans, right? Karunya, Saushilya, Saundarya, Madhurya, Gambhirya. Then next is Audarya. Krishna is an ocean of benevolence. Audarya Samudra. Audarya Jaladhi. Okay? So, to keep the explanation short, Audarya, Krishna's Audaryata or benevolence is most vividly exhibited in his form as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay? He doesn't discriminate who is a qualified person, who is not a qualified person. He just distributes Krishna prema. And if the person is more fallen, he will give more prema to him. Chirada dattam nijagupta vittam svaprema nama amritamatyudaraham Apama ramyo vitatara gaurah krishno janebhyastamaham prapadye Chirat adattam. For a long time, the Lord has not given this gift to us. What is that Krishna prema? Nijagupta vittam, the most secret treasure of Krishna prema, the Lord has not bestowed. So the Lord took the form of most benevolent Gauranga, Chaitanya, and he started distributing. Nijagupta vittam. How? Svaprema namamrutam ati udaraha. Because of his extreme benevolence, extreme magnanimity, he is giving prema through nama. So you chant Krishna nama, you get Krishna prema. Once you get Krishna prema, will you give up Krishna nama? No. You chant Krishna nama to get Krishna prema. Once you get Krishna prema, you chant Krishna nama with Krishna prema. Right? So that's the logic there. So, svaprema namamrutam ati udaraha. A pamaramyo vitatara gauraha. Even the most pamaras are also getting access to this Krishna prema through Mahaprabhu's benevolence. Through Krishna's benevolence in the form of Mahaprabhu. Right? Krishna is definitely Karunya Samudra. He is very merciful. If there is anyone who is more merciful than Krishna, Krishna's devotee is more merciful. When that Krishna with all his powers appears in the form of a devotee with all the compassion, you can only imagine the degree of benevolence that combination can show. Okay? So Mahaprabhu is the Supreme Personality of Godhead with all powers. And he's playing the role of a devotee with all compassion. Right? How much benevolence he can show. Okay? There's one beautiful shloka that describes Mahaprabhu's beauty. Now we discussed about seven oceans of Krishna, right? We are discussing. Now this is 7 crores of Mahaprabhu's glories. It says, Prabodhananda Saraswati says, Saundarye kamakoti sakalajana samahladane chandra koti vatsalye matru koti tridashavitapitopyadbhutaudarya koti gambhiryem bodhikoti madhuramani sudhakshiramadvika koti Gauro devasajiyat pranaya rasapade darshitascharya koti. Did you count the number of kotis here? Huh? This is 7 crore ka shloka. You can count again. Saundarye kama koti sakala jana samahladane chandra koti vatsalye matru koti tridasha vitapito pyadbhuta udarya koti Gambhiryem bodhikoti madhuramani sudhakshiramadvika koti Gauro devasajiyat pranaya rasapade darshitascharya koti. We saw Krishna compared to 7 oceans. Now this is Mahaprabhu 7 kotis. First, saundarye kama koti. In saundarya, in beauty, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is equal to 1 crore cupids put together, right? 10 million cupids put together. So that is the Lord's beauty. Krishna is already beautiful in his blue complexion. When he accepts golden complexion of mother, of Srimati Radharani, he becomes even more beautiful, right? Srimati Radharani has a golden complexion. Tadit suvarna champaka pradipta gaura vigrahe mukha prabha parasta koti sharadendu mandale. Srimati Radharani's complexion is like that of a champak flower, suvarna champaka, golden champak flower, right? So once his holiness Radhana Swami Maharaj picked up one little champak flower, right, which is somewhere in communal cottage, I'm sorry, Vrindavan now. So there inside of that that 5-petal champak flower, there's some complexion, right, that little golden complexion, that is the color of Srimati Radharani. That is the color of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also. Krishna is beautiful and there is a covering on Krishna which is complexion of Srimati Radharani. How beautiful he would be. Even if he has shaved head, he is beautiful. Even if he has no ornaments, he is beautiful. Because his ornaments are different. Pulaka, Shveda, Kampa, Ashru, they are his ornaments. Anyways, Saundarye Kama Koti. His beauty is equal to 10 million cupids put together. He can completely outsmart that beauty, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. So in this South India, Venkateswara Suprabhatam, okay, there is one shloka that comes. Kandarpa darpa harasundara divya murte kanta kuchamburu hakutmala lola drishte kalyana nirmala gunakara divya kirte shri venkata chalapate tava suprabhatam. Kandarpa darpa harasundara divya murti. The Lord's beautiful divine transcendental form can completely steal the pride of Cupid. Cupid may be very proud. Oh, I am so beautiful. But Kandarpa Darpa Hara. Kandarpa is Cupid. Darpa means his pride in his beauty. Hara means the Lord who steals. The Lord steals the beauty of Cupid. And Brahma Samhita goes 1 crore steps ahead and says, Kandarpa Koti Kamaniya Visesha Shobham. And Prabodhananda Saraswati says here that Saundarye Kama Koti. You understood, right? Second. Sakala Jana Sama Ahladane Chandra Koti. Sakala Jana Sama Ahladane Chandra Koti. Chandra is there, the moon in the sky. Moon is known to give Ahlada to everybody. Ahlada means happiness, pleasure in the heart. Okay. So you put 10 million moons together, that is the combined Ahlada that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu can cause to his devotees. Sakala Jana Sama Ahladane Chandra Koti. Vatsalya Matra Koti. Vatsalya means affection, motherly affection. How affectionate a mother is towards her child, right? Mother can sacrifice all her comforts to attend to the needs of a child, especially when the child is very young, infant baby. Sakala Jana Sama Ahladane Chandra Koti. Vatsalya Matra Koti. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's affection towards all of us is equal to 10 million mothers put together. Mother Suniti tells Dhruva, Dhruva, I am just one mother. Okay. But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Lord Krishna can give you the affection of millions of mothers put together. Right? That's her realization as a mother. Mother's testimony for Krishna's affection. Okay. So Vatsalya Matra Koti. Vatsalya Matra Koti. Tridasha Vitapito Pyadbhutau Darya Koti. Tridasha Vitapita means there is this Kalpa Vriksha in the heavenly planets. That's called Desire Tree. That is known to or very famous of fulfilling the needs and desires of anybody who approaches him. Right? You put 100 or 1 crore Kalpa Vrikshas together, that is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Tridasha Vitapito Pyadbhutau Darya Koti. Then Gambhiryem Bodhikoti. In Gambhirata, in gravity, he is equal to 10 million oceans put together. Gambhiryem Bodhikoti. Madhuramani Sudhakshira Madhvika Koti. Again, something similar to Krishna's quality. He is equal to multiple beverages which are made of honey, sweet nectar, milk, sugar. So all of them you put together and you multiply the sweetness of 10 million such preparations together. That is the sweetness of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. Madhuramani Sudhakshira Madhvika Koti Gauro Devasa Jiyat Pranaya Rasapade Darshitascharya Koti. That Gauranga Mahaprabhu is an abode of wonders, millions of wonders, 10 million wonders put together. Okay, that is Lord Chaitanya. So we discuss this in the context of Audarya Samudra. And the final Samudra, 7th ocean of Krishna is Vatsalya. And there are hundreds of such references in our scriptures and pastimes in our scriptures that describe, that reflect the Vatsalya, Bhakta Vatsalya quality of Krishna. Bhakta Vatsalya means Krishna is extremely affectionate towards his devotees. Therefore, on this auspicious beginning of the new year 2024, let us try to immerse our minds in the 7 oceans of Krishna and become more and more Krishna conscious. And we can do this any day. Okay, not only on the new year day. First day of new year, first day of every month, first day of every week, or first moment of every day also we can do this. Okay, thank you very much. Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.